Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
In this audio cast number 23, I get back to my Irish roots. You'll figure it out if you just...
Listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo, for a special episode as we take you all the way to Ireland. It is definitely not where I'm from, but they aren't that tall there, so perhaps I do fit in just a little bit if you put a little green outfit on me. And by the way, the Irish people hate that. And secondly, they don't say top of the morning to you. It's true, they don't say that. But they love their Guinness, they love their traditions. Even if perhaps the tradition isn't as understood as it used to be, and that's their Catholic faith. But in this particular episode, while I normally just interview people who are kind of outside the Catholic Church's experience, I will tell you that my next guest is definitely outside the normal Catholic Church's experience. His name is Father Joseph Mary Dean. He is a Franciscan Friar of the Renewal. It's a group of friars who started off in the Bronx in New York City, and now they're international around the world, going to some of the toughest places in the inner cities and building community. And it's really a beautiful thing, especially since Ireland is really suffering in many ways. You know, when the Pope showed up there recently for the World Meeting of Families, there were only about, 300,000 people that showed up for Pope Francis. But about 30 years ago, when St. John Paul II showed up, there were over 1 million people for his gathering. What happened? Well, we're going to try to figure out what's going on in Ireland, learn a little bit more about the culture, and also just some of their storytelling, including this one for today's amuse-bouche appetizer. A priest gets pulled over and the cop immediately smells alcohol, and the cop asks the priest, "Father, were you drinking?" And he says, "No, just water." And the cop says, "Well, why do I then smell alcohol?" And the priest says, "Good Lord, he's done it again." Ha ha ha, you got it. Yep, they love their drink. But do they enjoy the blood of Christ? Well, we're going to find out when we return with more Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo, and my special guest, Father Joseph Mary Dean. We'll be back in just a minute. This episode is brought to you by CatholicSpeakers.com. It is the world's very first and largest Catholic-focused speakers bureau. If you're looking for someone to speak at your parish, to lead a parish mission, or if you're looking for musicians or presenters at your next organization, big or small, you don't have to look any further. Just go to CatholicSpeakers.com. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo, and I am with, obviously, good friend, Father Joseph Mary Dean of the CFRs, which I thought meant for Conventual Friars of the Renewal, but then he made fun of me and corrected me, because it really stands for...
Community of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal.
Okay, and you are here, Father Joseph Mary, actually in Limerick.
Yes.
How far is that from Dublin?
About 2.5 hours.
Okay. Yeah. And as far as your work... in Limerick. What exactly are you doing? Describe the kind of work you're doing, because it's very CFR-ish.
Yes. We're working with the youth. We have several a young youth program and an older youth program in our neighborhood, and doing a lot of work with the youth, mm-hmm. and just trying to help them and just getting a formation and just keeping, you know, having a place, the youth center, for kids to be and to get off the streets and just learn about their faith.
Has there been anything there beforehand, or are you starting it from ground up? I mean, because Ireland is a pretty Catholic country, and I figure Limerick would be Catholic-ish.
Yeah, yeah. No, as far as I know, there wasn't anything there before, really.
You're kidding.
No.
So you mean to tell me that this city, can you describe the city of Limerick? Is it a county or is it a town? What is it?
It's both. There's Limerick County and Limerick City.
Okay.
We live in Limerick City, which is in Limerick County.
And is it like the hood? What is it like? How would you describe it?
Well, our neighborhood where we live was very infamous for a long time as being one of the most violent areas of Ireland. A lot of stabbing, shootings. There was a lot of gang warfare back in the day. There was mainly two different gangs that were fighting for control of the drug traffic.
And you show up, how many years ago? 11 years ago. Uh-huh. And you just walked right in and say, hey, we're going to buy this house and you live in the ghetto. Explain to people how this works, because honestly, missionary activity, we think it's like people going on ships from like years back, but it's still happening.
Yeah, no, it's still happening. And at the time, the people really appreciated us coming there because there wasn't a lot happening there.
The people
in our neighborhood.
Okay.
Yeah, well, not everyone appreciated us being there. When we first moved in and we were in youth club and somebody drove by and put some bullets through the window.
You're kidding me. So someone put bullets through the window of your, was it a church or was
our
it just
youth center, yeah.
So yeah. You, wait, first of all, you, the CFRs, they work with the poorest of the poor.
Yeah.
To start off in the Bronx with, you know, one of the most prominent members was the late Father Benedict Rochelle.
Yes.
So he's Irish, and so he probably is very happy that you're back here.
Yes, yes.
Because Ireland is obviously, you know, we're here for the World Meeting of Families, and everyone was very skeptical because of the recent referendum just allowing abortion. Yeah. We're going to talk about the culture. I want to hear more specifically about you, though, and the work that you're doing. How does it happen? You just show up with like two or three friars, and you all are just a bunch of big, hairy, gray-robed. I mean, if you think of Ku Klux Klan, but gray and not racist, and with really big beards and sandals, that's what you look like.
Yeah. Yes.
Don't laugh. It's the truth.
That's why it's funny.
And that's why you show up. And what are these people thinking?
Well, a lot of different things. Actually, when we first showed up, everybody was convinced that we were undercover cops. Because they're like, why would anybody else want to come and live here? So obviously they're undercover cops. And so for the longest time, nobody trusted us or wanted to talk to us because they thought we were narcs.
But you were all American, right? Was there some local?
No, there was the time. There was a German guy and a French guy and a couple of Americans. And so, yeah. And then we have a few Irish brothers too.
Okay.
And they were living up in the house in Northern Ireland. But yeah.
So what happens next? You just simply get a house?
Yeah, we worked with the diocese and they found us a place. It's basically like, they call it a council home. It's basically like Housing Projects of Ireland kind of thing.
And you have to pay for that yourselves?
No, it's because it's Housing Projects. They found us a place, the diocese found us a place so we could stay for free.
You stay for free, and first of all, you don't make any money personally.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Everything you make goes to what? I love telling people this because they think that we're rolling in dough.
Just to our ministry with the youth and with the youth programs and just all the things we're doing with them and for the evangelization initiatives and just...
So let's talk about that. You say that you've come here and it was a socially and economically impoverished town.
Mm-hmm.
What was the faith like? Because generally, faith is very vibrant in poorer communities.
They'd be more Catholic, more holding on to it there than other places, I would say. Some other places, they're kind of throwing off their Catholicity. They would still hold on to it. But I think the faith in Ireland has been more cultural because it's just what you did because everyone was Catholic. In fact, the schools here, like part of like the regular schools everybody goes to is formation for your first communion and for your confirmation. It's part of the curriculum of the country.
Culturally Catholic.
Yeah.
What did the culture of Catholicism look like?
Well, I wasn't here back in the day, but I've heard it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looked more people went to church, but it was more not having a relationship with Jesus. That wasn't really something that was done. It was more you go to church, you tick off the boxes, you try not to do this, and then you you do this thing and that thing, and you don't do this thing and that thing, and you pray your rosary, and
that in and of itself doesn't sound like a miserable experience.
No.
Why do people, in a sense, really dislike the Catholic Church?
Well, I think in Ireland for a long time, the priests were kind of on a pedestal, and there was kind of a mixing of church and state, and which could have been good, where the church really helped write the Constitution. But the priests, I think, were on a pedestal and were kind of untouchable, and you had to obey, but not. But again, it wasn't.
Can you give us an example of an untouchable? Because in parishes now, sometimes priests are untouchable. It's hard to even get hold of some priests.
Well, it was more like untouchable, as in like you just weren't. They weren't approachable. They weren't really part of the as much a part of the community as like in my experience in America. Where I was just very much more part of people's lives, part of their families, and this is a much more intimate connection with the people that we work with.
Not all, but the more effective ones are.
Yeah, that was my experience, where that was almost unheard of here, you know? Like, for example, when the kids would tell me, when the priest would walk down the hallway, the kids would have to line up against the hall and put their backs to the wall and kind of look down. And so it was not really healthy.
So that's actually kind of summarized in the most unfortunate and healthiest form of clericalism.
Yeah, yeah.
There was clericalism that certainly ran amok, mm-hmm. and that always happens mm-hmm. when there's a majority of us.
Yeah.
And they want to stay in control.
Yeah, and they had so many priests back then, they didn't know what to do with them all, so everything was done by the priests, so the laity had no role in the parish whatsoever because they didn't need them to help because they're trying to find jobs for all the priests they had.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And that's a great maybe segue into a deeper understanding of what you, the CFRs, are doing, and you in particular. Again, full disclosure, I said this at the intro, that Father Joseph, Mary, and I knew each other for about 25 years, and we always seem to run into each other at these mega events, and I'm usually giving a talk, and he stands in the back just to make fun of me. So I really, really, how should I say this? I like making fun of him, and he enjoys making fun of me. That's the beauty of our friendship. But you just simply show up in Limerick and you start doing what? What does this look like? Because maybe there are other groups that need to do the same.
Well, it was just really getting involved and working with the youth and the young adults was the biggest thing. Helping people in the neighborhood. There's a lot of need there still. A lot of the people would be on government assistance, but it's not always enough to mm-hmm. for all the needs that come up. If they have, like, for example, a First Communion party and they need to host it and they don't have enough, so, or for fuel or different things. And so working with people in those areas, just getting involved in the community.
So
and
do
their
they
lives.
See you guys as an extension of social services like a lot of churches are sometimes?
No. We've really become part of the neighborhood and part of the community, part of the people's lives, you know. And
so from getting bullets shot into has there ever been any physical altercations other than that? Because you're a pretty big guy.
No, there was a few times that they were worried or when there was, you know, gunfire going off or there was stabbings or things and the brothers were out there trying to break up some of the fights and stuff where they were worried, but nothing ever actually happened to us, no.
So this is almost a little bit of a promotion for the CFRs because I love them. You guys are not afraid to get your hands dirty.
No.
In fact, you're kind of described as, like, I don't want to say dirty as in, like, seedy, but you don't have any struggle in the streets.
Yeah. That's kind of our
charism.
Our thing, yeah, just being on the streets with the people.
And so now you say you're part of their family. Can you tell us at least some of the highlights that you've experienced since your time here?
Yeah, I mean, it just starting to make that, even for me, because I was new here, and so just in the time where people have taken time to get to know me, just to starting to welcome me more and more into their lives and just starting to share their struggles and just realizing that we're very real and that they can talk to us. That they can trust us. We're there for them when we need them. And so just seeing just the beauty of, and just, you know, the kids are always coming by our place and just wanting to say hi. And then just,
so have there been a lot of conversions?
Yeah.
Or reversions?
Yeah, in fact, I mean, especially with some of the young adults, they're now like missionaries, quite a few of them, and I don't...
Tell me about that. Like, what does that mean? They are now missionaries.
Well, there's one girl who lives across the street from us who was just finished up 2 years with Holy Family Mission, and now she's going to work with another group of missionaries in Ireland. Another girl that lived across from her, she just left actually to go do net ministries in America. This girl Melissa and another girl Nicola. And there's another guy, Luke, who's doing in Australia. And so these young adults who probably might not have had that.
So they meet up with you. They're going to church regularly. Mm-hmm. Are you in charge of a parish there?
No, we don't have a parish. We help out at the local parishes, but we do have a chapel in our youth center where we do adoration and mass for them sometimes.
Okay, so but it's not like a regular thing. So donations are still going to the parish priest. What's been your experience working with the diocese? And you can be honest.
Yeah, it's been fine. The bishop likes us and is very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the priests still don't know what to make of us. we seem, there's so many things that people hear about us. And so, like, either they're radical or they're uber conservative or they're like...
What are you?
Yeah, we're Catholic.
I think that's going to be when we come back in just a few minutes. I've got a couple more questions for you, but I want to talk about what does that mean in Ireland.
Yeah.
But between now and then, your work is primarily just hanging out? I mean, are you teaching people? A lot of people don't get this.
Yeah, no, we have formation programs we're doing with the young adults and with the youth.
But it's not a parish.
It's not a parish, no. But then we have a men's group. We have a Bible study that we run in the neighborhood. We have...
Part of me wants to ask Father Joe. It's kind of weird calling him that. But why aren't parish priests doing that?
I don't... No, maybe. I'm sure some of them are. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. You'd have to ask them. I'm not sure why they're not. But some are, I guess. We're doing just things where people come and volunteer with us and help there. Or we do healing nights of just nights of adoration and praise and confessions and praying for inner healing or physical healing or deliverance.
Sure.
Doing a lot of deliverance ministry. A lot of different things.
Are you talking about like exorcisms kind of thing? Are you a licensed exorcist?
No. So that's why I'm not doing full on. You need the bishop's permission for that, although. But there's been some very dramatic manifestations of evil that the brothers have been working with and helping people to move out of.
And before we go into the culture of it all, like, what have you been doing here at the World Meeting of Families? Again, I just am speaking at one of the venues, and this big dirty friar stands in the back trying to distract me from my very theologically profound points. And it's Joe.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I started in Limerick, what I felt called to, was young adult ministry. So I'm starting a young adult ministry group there. I have started and trying to expand that. And so I've been, a lot of my time here has been really just been spent being with, praying with, hanging out with, talking with, encouraging, brainstorming with the young adults of Ireland. And they're amazing and so just wonderful and just... Yeah, they just are so encouraging, and I see so much potential. And so one of the things I do is support them all over Ireland in their ministries, because obviously I can't run, 100 ministries all over the country. And so I say, go do it, and I will support you. I will be there. I will, whatever you need, mass, confessions, talks, spiritual direction. I'm just trying to support the young adults of Ireland because they're just amazing. And they just need that support, that encouragement, that push. Just someone to believe in them and encourage them, and it's.
I guess I would have to summarize this as a ministry of hanging out, which is kind of what we're doing, and it's so typical going into Ireland. We're in Dublin, and we just walked into a restaurant, and to be honest with you, I'm getting a little tired of fish and chips, and then that one Italian restaurant being kind of snooty because they didn't want us to record in their restaurant because they were afraid of our conversation. So we went to a lovely Indian restaurant right off the main street, and our food has arrived, so we're going to say grace. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what it means to be a Catholic in Ireland, because it's a different world these days.
Yes.
So more Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, and Father Joseph Mary Dean, my special guest. We'll be back in just a moment. This week's premium content subscribers will receive a special interview with Dr. Bob Rice, a professor of catechesis at the Franciscan University of Steubenville in Ohio, in which he shares some amazing tips on how to truly be an evangelizer and how to get your family to better know and love Jesus Christ. And so please subscribe on any of your podcast platforms. Support us by sharing this all over the place with family and friends, and then also with your sponsorship of $10 or more each month, you'll get in your email inbox a special premium content conversation to help you grow in your faith. And please know, with your support, we can bring about many conversions, one conversation at a time. So to support us, all you've got to do is go to fatherleofeeds.com/listen or visit the new Shoot the Shiitake website at shoot shootthishiitake.com. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me for the Deeper Dish discussion on Ireland, all things Ireland. And I've got Father Joseph Mary Dean, and we took a break and we just had a fantastic meal in Jewel in the Crown. It's an Indian restaurant on Shelburne Road in Ballsbridge. It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, man. And especially since we could actually have a conversation, record it, because this is what I want to do, is talk about Irish culture, the Catholic culture. I mean, look, Fighting Irish, Notre Dame, still kind of super Catholic in the United States with its own controversies.
Yeah, yeah.
But now here in Ireland, it's different. So let me just set up the scene. We went into another restaurant near the hotel, near the World Meeting of Families, and I just asked if we could have a larger table because I had some recording equipment. And the guy immediately just kind of got a little nervous and bristly because I wanted to do this recording with Father Joseph, Mary. Long story short, we just wound up leaving because he wanted to monitor, in a sense, our conversation. What's up with that?
I don't know.
But I mean, you've had good experiences of just being obviously a very prominent Catholic figure. Mm-hmm. You're wearing a hooded robe.
Right.
But what's it been like for you to see Catholicism? Obviously with the clericalism and now anti-clericalism.
Yeah, I think because the priest and the church was so reverenced here and held up so high that the fall was that much greater. And so there was, the scandals really rocked the country here terribly. And I think there was
the
already.
The scandals meaning,
The abuse scandals.
Okay, because there's also been a deep homosexual in the seminary scandal.
Yeah, that's another thing too. Yeah, and just a lot of people see a connection even in the two. But yeah, I think because some people probably had some resentment already towards the church, perhaps of almost being obliged to be deferential.
Yep.
That when things came out, that in a sense they weren't behaving as advertised, then the anger really came out, and so there's a lot of people that just became very angry and very hostile and very anti-church, and is still suffering from that today.
The referendum was a big deal. I mean, it hit the news in the United States, and people, obviously a lot of pro-abortion people, celebrated this change. What was it like from your experience? Were people just marching in the streets to kind of get abortion legalized?
Well, it was more of a media. They had complete control of the media and just really the spin that they would put on it. And really they kept spinning it as in a women's health thing, although it was already a law in Ireland that if the woman's life was in danger, that the doctor could act to save her life and abort the baby. So how they kept on saying it was, well, we need this for women's health.
Sure.
Well, there was already a clause in there to protect that. So, but people just bought it, and there was no opportunity for a counter voice in the culture here. So, and it's amazing what you can do when you have complete control of the media. It's government run, and so it's just, they can just really push forth any agenda that they want to, and people don't know how to have a different side of that story. But I'd say there was so many good people who worked and prayed and suffered and canvassed and went door to door and handing out things and in cities and talking to people and setting up booths. I mean, they worked so hard for life that it was really tragic, and they really felt it.
So what exactly is the law now? Because, again, we're not getting the full complete picture, and, I mean, we're several months now after the referendum.
Well, the law right now, basically what they were doing is, it was part of the Irish Constitution that the unborn baby, and all it said was that the life of the unborn baby needs to be protected.
Okay.
And that's what they removed. They didn't want that in there, because once you remove that, then you can just open the doors to, and they kept on saying it again, well, it'll just be for extreme cases, and they use the usual thing, oh, you know, what about rape and incest, you know, even though that's like one, you know, a couple percent of the cases, maybe 5%, but it was really just to get abortion on demand. And so,
and who pays for this now?
Well, it's socialized medicine here, so it'll be the taxpayers.
What is the tax rate here?
It's astronomical.
I mean, give me a number if you
can. I don't know. I mean, some people I talk to said basically half of your income automatically goes to taxes, but then there's all these other things, other taxes and other things they hit you with. I was talking to one guy who said basically he takes home 25% of what he earns.
I'm sorry for being so shocked, but
yeah,
he takes home 25% of what he earns.
Yeah.
So that basically means, and I'm an Asian and therefore pretty good at math, 75% is going towards social services.
Yeah, so like over 50 is automatically taken. Well, there's a lot of questions. There's no regulation. There's legitimate needs here, and they provide for the needs, but there's also a great abuse of the system, too. They call it the dole of people.
The dole.
Yeah, so it would be like welfare of people who are just, it's easier. For some people, it's just easier to take the dole than to get a job, because if they're going to take 75% of your money, well, it'd be easier just to take money from the government.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really creating, and so the unemployment rate is astronomical here. And it's really hard to make a good living and get a house and a car, and like getting a car and the insurance and the taxes is astronomical. So it's very difficult. And so a lot of people just, it's easier to not work.
So they're really not, there's certainly not an, how shall I say, a business free market mentality here. I've seen it in even with discussions of some of the locals.
Mm-hmm.
They're just working and maintaining.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of the things that they say. They just don't really have a lot of disposable income to go and do other things and travel like other people would. And so they have socialized medicine here, and that can be good. But also there's a lot of people that have been waiting for 5 years for the procedure they need because of the backup of it, because it's, when it's socialized, everyone can get it. So it's complicated, and it's not an easy answer and an easy fix, but it needs to be tweaked or it's going to collapse on itself.
And the Catholic Church, what kind of social services does it provide for the people?
Honestly, it hasn't had to provide too much because the government takes care of everything.
So unlike in America, mm-hmm. many people will go to the churches mm-hmm. to help with rent, income, mm-hmm. you know, sustenance and food baskets.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do that here.
Not as much. Some, there's still need. And in, like in Dublin itself, there's, you'll see a lot of homeless on the streets here.
There's a ton of homeless on the streets.
And it's getting, and everywhere in Ireland, they're increasing. So despite all of their services, it's increasing everywhere.
These people look healthy.
They are.
So
they
why are they out there? Is it mental illness, as in many cases in America?
Yeah, some it is. Some it's addiction, you know, yeah.
So it's pretty much the same. But Ireland is interesting because it's a collection of small towns, mm-hmm. small counties, really,
mm-hmm.
and it's an island.
Yeah.
And let me just ask, culturally, how does it compare to America? Because obviously a lot of Americans will be listening to this, and there are a lot of Irish Americans. So where are some of our stereotypes going wrong? Besides, they don't say top of the morning.
Right, yeah, they don't say that. No.
They don't say it. So I almost got smacked for saying it. But
it was surprising to me. It took me a while to get to try and understand how different, because they speak English here, so it doesn't feel that foreign at first.
Kind of. I had difficulty with some of the accents.
Yeah. But it's more, I'd say, just it's really a different mindset.
Tell me about that.
Well, what are some of the, I mean, they're very friendly, but it's more formal. So it's a weird combination of being very friendly. They're known, Irish are known for being friendly, and they are. But at the same time, it's not that, like, the intimacy that we would have in the States, where of, like, being really close to, like, people, like, even strangers, you know, where, like, you'd meet people, maybe, you know, you'd...
I've experienced a little bit of racism.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Well, because it was so long, there was nobody else here that...
Sure. It started off as a, you know, an island with harsh terrain, and
yeah,
it still
yeah,
is. The weather's not good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the old name for Ireland is Hibernia. That was given to it by the Romans when they came here,
mm-hmm.
which basically means land of perpetual frost and cold, you know, like as in hibernation. That's where the Romans left. They're like,
welcome
nope.
to Ireland.
They're like, nope.
This is
going
no
back to Italy.
The end of the rainbow. This is the middle of the rainbow. Now, how about the pub culture? Because that's obviously a big deal.
Yeah, it's a traditional part of every town. It can be very lovely, where it's just you gather with people and hang out by the peat fire and have a pint and have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
In the cities, it's turned in more into a drinking, you know.
A lot of drunk.
Yeah,
I mean, walking through the city the other night, it was a start of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of
problems
drunk.
With alcohol here. There's a lot of depression in Ireland, and part of it's probably the weather.
You mentioned the suicide rate.
Suicide rate is very high. A lot of addiction. But for a lot of people, it's just a frustration of not being able to, I think, perhaps get, you know, like they see like the advertisements for like living the dream, and it's harder to do in reality. To get all the things, and so there's a frustration with that, because that's what we're fed by the world, is you should have all these things and they'll make you happy, and well, I can't, therefore I'm not happy, you know.
And the small town versus big city, because the real charm to Ireland, and this is just from an outsider's point of view,
uh-huh.
are these small towns
yeah.
that are kind of difficult to get to. You've got to either have a car, or you're going to have a whole day on a bus to get to a little county.
Uh-huh.
Is it kind of like in America, Midwest versus the coasts?
Yeah, I'd say it's similar to that. Yeah, there's still a big farming culture. in the middle, you know, outside of the cities, and
where the traffic jam is because someone is walking sheep.
Yeah,
that's real.
Yeah, and they're holding on to the culture and tradition more. A lot of them would see kind of like things coming out of the cities being imposed on them, but they want to still kind of hold to the traditions and beliefs. And
where do you think there's going to be, I mean, without talking just as a faithful friar of the renewal, where exactly is the church now, and what can it do to just make itself a little bit more part of reality and hope?
Yeah, well, I think in Ireland they kind of fell for the same confused way of thinking that we did in America, especially like in the 70s. Where it was like, all right, let's take off our clerics and our habits, and we'll just call it, we'll go by Fred, and we'll just be more approachable to people. But really, you just became invisible. You didn't become approachable. And
nice.
Still not really being able to connect with that people on that level. People still often are funny about talking to a priest in just in a casual way. Now, the young adults, that the new generation, they grow up with, I mean, they are used to priests, and they're very comfortable with them, and it's a whole... So I'd say the hope of the church... Now, as the young adults, I mean, there's a lot of them who are just dynamic, and so, and they're really just wanting to evangelize all of their friends and just.
What about the priests that you've met here? Because you obviously are living with your community of CFRs, but what about the parish priests? Because they are, in a sense, where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah, some of them are amazing and just working just their hearts out and just love their people. Everybody loves. There are people, I'd say, but some are tired. It's an older clergy here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they still haven't quite figured out how to be more engaged with the people, I think.
What do you think should they be doing then? That's a great question. Yeah. You know, that you raised a great point that they just wanted to become almost secular, which made them invisible. Yeah. But their clericalism was such a turnoff. It would be a turnoff for me.
Yeah. Well, even just like on a practical example, so in the States, after Mass,
yeah,
you process out the back of the church and then you greet the people on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time here, what I've seen is the priest just goes to the side and goes into the sacristy and disappears. It's weird. Like at churches I've been at, I would try and process out, and half the congregation was already in the aisle. They're like, "Oh, what's the priest walking down the middle of the aisle for?" I'm like, "Cause I wanted to say hello.
Wow.
See how you're doing. Introduce myself." You know, it was just like people were like, "Oh, this is weird."
And your personal approach to ministry and also the CFRs in general, I've had a great relationship with them for many, many years, really at the start of my vocation. So I have a great kinship to what you do. You, however, are doing something different. What are you doing here personally? And this gives you a chance to show off Father Joseph Mary, because I know you love doing it. I'm kidding with you. I'm very proud of you, actually.
Well, I mean, my main thing is just being really connected with the families and with the young adults, taking them
away. But you're doing something else. Come on, just don't be bashful. Just say it.
What's
thing? You're traveling around the country.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. I've traveled from top to bottom, left to right. I've probably seen more of Ireland than most Irish people.
Truly.
Yeah, and it's just going from town to town, village to village, especially with the young adult ministry that I'm doing, just supporting them in their work and just their initiatives, and like, yes, get it going, I will be there. And so I'm happy to spend myself.
And you're preaching missions, which they've never even heard of before, right?
So, well, they had missions here before, but they're more of the old school style of missions.
Which I definitely don't do myself. I'm the same
so ours, like, sometimes they're a little bit freaked out at first, but once they kind of just like go with it, they're like, wow, that was awesome. And so we talk a lot about healing, a lot about letting go of hurts and pains. There's a lot of hurts and pains here, a lot of wounds.
Might it be because of culture, or is it just because of the Irish way?
Well, there's a thing, that's another cultural difference. It's not, you don't really talk about your feelings here that much.
Wow.
You get kind of mocked for it almost, and it's like, no, just stuff that. And so it's more of a culture of kind of, they call it slagging, you know, kind of just sarcastic humor towards each other. And even like, where people would still to this day, I'm just like, after encourage them, like, no, tell me what you're thinking, because they won't. They'll just be like, oh, no, sure, it's great. And I'm like, no, it's not. I know you're angry right now. I know you're upset right now. Like, what's going on? And it's really hard to get them to open up and say, okay, well, actually, this is what's really bothering me. This is what's really going on. And it's when you can, then it's beautiful, but it's work, you know? You gotta like really, it's just not something that's encouraged here. It's just kind of like, Just put on a...
This doesn't sound like the St. Patrick we know.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, and a lot of it's masked and kind of like just a kind of a jolly cheerfulness. But really, underneath of it, there's a lot of hurt that's just not getting dealt with. And it's everywhere, but I find it's a little bit more poignant here.
And you are now kind of calling it to the carpet and really shining a light of Christ on it.
Yeah.
And you're experiencing great kind of effect.
Yeah, breaking down some walls, just really kind of penetrating that, opening up just the same. And that's what we do at our missions. We just like really give people permission like to come to the Lord with how they really feel. You know, because I think it's almost like, well, I shouldn't feel that way, so I'll just pretend like I don't. I'm like, no, you don't have to feel guilty about how you feel. It's just how you feel. Come to the Lord with that, and He can heal that. But if you keep it buried, it's just gonna eat away at you. And so really, introducing them to a personal relationship with Jesus, introducing them to a possibility of healing, and letting go of past hurts and forgiveness, and even like in just like I said, working in deliverance, and then even like just praying with people, and like a lot of physical healings are happening. And I think Jesus is doing them to help people to have faith.
And when you say physical healings, because I know some of my listeners are going to be like, what is that about?
You know, the usual stuff. People getting their eyesight back, their hearing back, cancer disappearing, getting out of wheelchairs, you know.
And so now everyone is going to be lining up to see Father Joseph Mary Dean and get some healing like Benny Hinn.
But, you know, it's because Jesus told us to go and do the things that he had done, and he never came back and told us to stop.
Yeah.
And when Jesus was doing that and the disciples were doing that, it was to increase people's faith.
Yep.
So, like, people would say, like, how do we know that you're who you say you are? He's like, well, look at the works I do. And so there's still, and that was the testament of his apostles, the first apostles, and it's still, what you see a lot is people like, wow, okay, maybe it's true, like maybe God is real, like because I just saw something miraculous, and it just really opens doors to faith. And so,
the Pope coming here to Ireland for the World Meeting of Families, one of the largest crowds ever that Ireland has seen, and for the most part, I think people are excited. What are you thinking is going to happen here?
I think there'll be some protest, but I don't know, they might be minor. Hopefully it'll be minor.
I've not seen any protests.
No. There was a lot of talk about it.
I mean, I've walked around and I've been to the different entrances, not one protest.
Right. And I know there's a lot of anger about things that happened in the past. But
sure.
It's not this Pope's fault. He wasn't in charge at the time.
Do the people like him generally? Like
they do.
Popularity?
I'd say, yeah, in general. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So listen, as we are coming to the close of this segment, I'm going to be returning with my carryout order. I want to thank Father Joseph Mary Dean for joining me here in a really great restaurant, Jewel in the Crown. You got to come to it, y'all. If you're in the Ballsbridge area, you'll be able to get some food. And then if you have a podcast, they'll let you record it in here without getting you kicked out. Unbelievable. But I'm going to give you a chance, Joe, to preach to me. I always ask, do I have enough battery?
Nope.
I usually ask, we've been friends for a very long time. We're kind of like brothers, really. One big hairy brother with a little hairless Filipino. Spiky hair on top, that is. How can I be a good priest for you? A better friend for you?
Well, I mean, you always have to start with, of course, prayer and fellowship and just support and just...
Well, I just bought you lunch. Isn't that enough?
Well, that's a good start, you know. I think one of the things that the Lord was putting on my heart recently, and maybe I'll share that with you, is just the Lord really has to be our portion, especially for everybody, but especially as a priest, because we don't have wives and children and everything. The Lord wants to be our portion. And I think the danger that I was falling into was finding my joy and fulfillment through ministry. And therefore, if the ministry wasn't as fruitful or didn't go exactly perfect or wasn't as dynamic as I wanted it to be, then there could be a frustration or depression. And the Lord was really saying, no, let me be your portion, and like just let me fill you, let me bring you joy. So in a sense, it's so funny how we can do that. Like, you know, you see all the obvious ways that people put other things in front of God, you know, like money and possessions. But I think I was putting ministry in front of God.
Nice.
And in a sense, it became my God then, where I was, and because I was good at it, and I was doing good things, I didn't catch it. You know, and the Lord called me out on that one. And, you're letting the ministry and how successful the ministry is be your joy. Hmm. And I want to be your joy. And you just let me be your joy, and then I will bless the ministry. And whether it's dynamic, whether it succeeds or fails, I'm your joy. And so is this really just so I think as priests, this is one of the things we always need to watch out for, is because that's how we can gauge how our life is going, how I'm doing as a priest, is how successful it is. And no, the Lord's saying, you know, like...
That's not the point.
No. Yep. Like I'm me first, and then everything else is going to fall into place. And so that's what I've really been just... And it gave me a freedom to let go and not to worry, like, oh, could I have said this thing different? Or could I have said it better? Or could I have done this differently?
Well...
You can do that forever. So I think the best way you know, that we can be better priests is that just really letting God be first in our in everything, let him satisfy us and fill us.
Words from good friend, brother priest, and fantastic missionary back in Ireland, back in your own hometown, so to speak, right? You're definitely Irish. And so Father Joseph Mary Dean with a beautiful, beautiful message for me, and also just a great explanation of what it's like as an American coming here to Ireland for the World Meeting of Families. When we return, I'll come back with my carry-out order and more Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, in just a minute. Just having returned from the World Meeting of Families in Dublin, Ireland. I must say, I gotta say thanks to all the organizers, and it was great to meet so many people who stopped by my booth and to get pictures and to get my books and merchandise, and I'm so sorry that I ran out of some of my materials, but please know you can always get my resources, which are very practical, theological, bite-sizable message with some great recipes and great reminders on how you can bring your family to the dinner table. All you gotta do is go to Father Leo Feeds.com and just click shop. Or if you want to go directly to the store, go to shop.fatherleofeeds.com and get the resources to get your family back to the dinner table. Welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, for the carryout order. And after my conversation with Father Joseph Mary Dean of the Community of the Friars of the Renewal, and of course, after spending almost a week there, meeting the people and experiencing the culture once again, and especially the Catholic culture, there are a few things that I am taking away from my experience in this conversation. The first is a renewed desire to be a missionary. And when you think of missionary, you oftentimes think of people like Father Joe, who goes into a different country and culture. I mean, he's wearing the robe, and you experience all these dangers. My goodness gracious, he had guns shot at his community house. You can't get any more dangerous than that. But that's not only the image of a missionary. A missionary is someone who was sent outside of the church. In fact, the phrase ita missa est in Latin, it is mass is ended, go in peace. That word missa comes from the Latin mitre, which means to send. And that's why a missal is sent. And like a missal, the people leave the church, sometimes even faster than missals, to get out of the busy parking lot. But the point is, everyone is a missionary. And so how do you become that? Well, I learned something from Father Joe, and it doesn't begin with you telling people what to believe. It requires you to, first of all, know what you do believe, and then also be willing to admit what you don't know, and then just meeting people and just creating an experience of community. And maybe beginning with not what you should believe, but just asking people, what do you believe? You know, and it's interesting that Ireland is, my God, it was one of the most Catholic countries in the world. I mean, their effect on Catholicism is everywhere, but they are in such a desperate way now. I mean, it was so sad to see churches that are empty and, you know, there weren't even that many people who showed up. Now, granted, there was a tremendous rainstorm for all of the morning. The security made it literally almost impossible for people who had any issues with walking to even get there. They had to walk miles and miles. So it was not an easy thing to get to. And so the attendance for the Mass at the World Meeting of Families with Pope Francis wasn't big. Wasn't big at all compared to St. John Paul II. There were over 1 million people at Phoenix Park where the big Mass was held. This time around, you know, with Pope Francis and the most recent World Meeting of Families gathering, there were maybe, 250,000-300,000 people? Wasn't a lot. And there were some protesters. But I just see how the faith has been so affected because we aren't missionaries anymore. You know, the priests who were, in a way, part of the scandal of the church, and believe me, our church is facing even more scandals now, is because they don't see themselves as sent to get to know people. People don't have relationships, authentic, sincere, loving, in the best, holiest way possible, relationship with the religious. You know, if the priests have to walk by and you have to line up against the wall with your back against the wall and with a slight bow, come on, you're not there for them to serve you. You're there to serve them. So it's just showing me that I got to renew my efforts to be a missionary again. And the way you do it is just by staying close to the people, and in a special way, staying close to the poor. my experience with Ireland, it's kind of interesting because I kind of don't feel at home in places where there's not a lot of ethnic diversity. But I was kind of shocked to see a little bit more ethnic diversity since the last time I was in Ireland. There were just tons of Brazilians and South Americans. There was a small smattering of Africans. There were a small smattering of Eastern Europeans. They all go there so they can work and they can learn English. And then there was, you know, a small number of Asians as well. So I don't always feel as comfortable in an all-Anglo society. I kind of feel better when there's, I know, kind of a global mix. But there, they make you feel very much at home. They really do. They have a great sense of hospitality. But culturally speaking, it kind of feels like I'm kind of stuck in the 80s, to be honest with you. Like, the fashion and even the infrastructure, that they need some serious updating in Ireland. And the church does, too. And so here's what I'm going to say with my carryout order. When I went there, I felt like their evangelical model hasn't even happened yet. You know, they're still like doing such old praise and worship songs, you know? I mean, and their understanding of going to mass, you just go there and if you're there for 45 minutes, you're pushing it. I met several priests, Irish priests, who were sharing their stories with me about how they want to be more zealous and to be more kind of evangelical, which is not a bad word. In fact, I love my evangelical Christian brothers and sisters because they teach us fervor. And it's so odd because this is a culture that just thrives on celebrating. They're very affectionate. They're always backslapping. They've got a Guinness in their hands. They are loud. Oh my God, they're loud people. I was at a nice restaurant with a few people and there was a bar in the back, but the bar just grew into the restaurant. There was no one eating. It was just me and my guests, and everything else was just bar. So their sense of culture and celebration, it's very evident. But why doesn't it translate into church? I don't get that. I just don't get that. And I'm not trying to blame the priest, but I know that if a priest isn't going to be hearty with his people in liturgy, then, you know, all in the name of formality, then we're forgetting that church and culture should not be separated. They should be beautifully interwoven so that the church can have a positive influence on culture. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. So it just seems to me like there just needs to be some updating in Ireland, not just with infrastructure, but above and beyond their idea of faith, which kind of leads to my last point. And I love the World Meeting of Families. I can't thank the organizers for the invitation to come, but it was kind of weird because it didn't seem like anybody knew who I was or were expecting me. It was so funny because I showed up. First of all, they were very welcoming to me. You know, the organizers were. And as soon as I got there, there were several people who stopped by the booth and they wanted to shake hands. They say they see me on the telly. They see me on the telly. And so that's great. I think now, 120 people now watch my show if I counted correctly. But they just didn't know what I was about. In fact, if you read some of the blogs and some of the stories, they were not expecting me to be or expecting my Plating Grace presentations to be exciting or even worth going to. But I can honestly say that the auditorium was filled for my presentations. And on the last presentation, where I was doing my talk on spicing up married life, the place was so packed, they couldn't even get any more people even to stand in it. So it was kind of exciting. But I went to the place where they sell the audio tapes because everyone kept coming to my booth and asking, where do we get audio tapes of your talk? So I went there myself and the guy said, oh, when we looked at the title, we didn't think this would be interesting. We didn't think it would be worth recording. So they didn't record it. So folks, I'm sorry that they didn't record it, but hopefully you might see an episode of it on Savoring Our Faith. But I bring that up because that's what I'm saying about the renewal. You got to kind of think outside of the box. And if a cooking priest was kind of a shocker to you, it shouldn't be. Because your food, Irish people, it might not be the tastiest food, but there's deep connections to your faith. I mean, I just look at shepherd's pie and how you can make a connection to Jesus that way as the good shepherd and the Lamb of God. You know, I mean, I just know that your fish, for example, just connected to the word in Greek, ichthos, which is the first letter for the acronym Jesus Christus, huius Theus Soter, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. You know, the idea that you are an island, an emerald green island, evergreen. It just seems like one of the big struggles in the Catholic Church in Ireland is that they didn't make connections to culture anymore. You know, they're not connected to the people. They're obviously with the abortion referendum. They're just kind of out of touch, and it really broke my heart to see it. But you got to do some updating. Think about ways to update your faith. I mean, we can't pray like we did in the 50s, and we can't pray like we did when we were 13 years old when confirmation ended. And this is just true for me, and I'm taking this as my carry-out order. I've got to update my prayer life. I got to make sure I'm not just making it a routine, because that's the problem that the Irish people had. It was just all routine. I'm not saying it's true for everyone, so please don't. I know that there are some great saints, and Father Joseph Mary even talked about how great the young adults are that are there, and thank God for them, and hopefully they'll just be able to update it even more. But, you know, these are just the thoughts that I had from my trip there. It was great to experience the encouragement of people who knew I was, and it's always good for the soul, and it's very humbling when people will say things like, I didn't think I would enjoy your presentation. Thank you very much. Just give me a Guinness and I'll just shut up. But I will say that one of the things that I take away was the beauty of the people there. As I was watching the folks in, you know, the crowds that showed up for the papal mass, several hundreds of thousands of people showed up in the middle of rain. I mean, the weather there stinks. I was told that the word Iberica, the Iberian Peninsula, it's kind of like code word for sucky weather. And the weather wasn't the best. But the people who showed up and stayed, they might have not been updated in their faith, and they may have not understood what was going on, and they might have actually voted for the abortion referendum, but they were there. And I just am hoping and praying that the words of the Holy Father, as beleaguered he might be in the midst of all of the troubles and the issues surrounding the papacy now, but the faith in Jesus Christ, I just hope that the people will not only stay rooted in Christ, but they'll also bear great fruit. And thank God for all the missionaries, not just the missionary priests like Father Joe and the awesome parish priests and nuns that I met along the way, but also the lay people, for you all to make sure that you are updating your faith and realizing that every time the priest says, Mass has ended, go in peace, you really are like missiles. And what do missiles do? They get launched. And what else do? They explode. And what do they explode with? What's ever inside the missile. And at the end of Mass, who is inside of you? Christ. And I just hope that that gets unleashed for all of the people in Ireland so that they can once again be that beautiful Catholic country that has influenced our world in so many awesome, awesome ways. So that's my carry-out order this week. I can't thank once again our sponsors, CatholicSpeakers.com, and the World Meeting of Families for the invitation. Please support us by subscribing and encouraging others to do so. Share this podcast, especially with all your Irish friends, and they can send me critique and questions. All they've got to do is go to the new Shoot the Shiitake website, shootthishiitake.com. And of course, for all of our sponsors, we can't thank you enough. I definitely need your support. So with just $10 or more each month, you're going to get awesome premium content. Like this week, you're going to get a great interview from Dr. Bob Rice, a professor of catechesis at the Franciscan University of Steubenville, getting back to his Irish heritage and sharing with us his thoughts. So can't thank you sponsors enough for all of that. And I hope you enjoyed this special show of Shoot the Shiitake, recounting the World Meeting of Families. And between now and the next time we speak, stay hungry. And Again, we hope you enjoyed this special episode of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo, and we thank our sponsor, CatholicSpeakers.com, where you can find and book your next presenter, speaker, missionary, preacher, and even musician for your next event. Whether it's a parish event, a social club, or a major conference, to get all the information on who you should get to present, go to CatholicSpeakers.com. And don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, to share this podcast with family, friends, and everyone, and to support us, just go to ShootTheShiitake.com or visit us at FatherLeoFeeds.com.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.